Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this podcast topic is FM50 Writing Team Talks, focusing on the recent publication of FM50, Planning and Orders Production. We welcome to the show Lieutenant Colonel Joe Yurisich and Lieutenant Colonel retired Will Rogers. They're both part of the Command and Control Division here at CAD and were the authors for the most recent publication of FM50. Both have spent time as planners on staffs from battalion to theater level. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for having us, Lisa.
In episode 32 of Breaking Doctrine, and Will, you were a guest on that, we started a conversation on FM50. The publication actually was taken off our doctrinal bookshelf for several years, but we republished the book in 2022. So here we are in 2024 with a newly updated 50. And that's kind of unusual because usually we don't have editions that come so quickly or close together. So what drove the revision of 50?
So in May of 2022, 50 was published, and soon after that, we realized there's a number of mistakes within the manual. We immediately started working this change one, which took a number of months. It wasn't until November of 2022 we actually issued that change one. But in October of that year, what happened was FM30 came out. And so that November change one to fix those mistakes was unable to incorporate everything from FM30 at the time. Also, ADP 313 was being developed. And so we knew that we were going to have to produce a new manual. So after we issued change one, November 2022, then Joe and I started working on this revision. The revision of this was to incorporate FM30 and ADB 313 into this manual.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's, you know, my assumption that 30 was going to generate a change. So what are those changes that 3.0 generated for FM50?
So I'll take this. The main one that like sparked discussion in the Command and Control Doctrine Division was the changes in the operational framework models in FM30. Obviously, multi-domain operations is the big, Army operating concept in 3.0, and we do incorporate that into 5.0, but as a In a planning manual, what are the biggest changes to planning? And that was, losing the decisive shaping sustaining model, because that was written out of the new 3.0. So then how do you conduct like the MDMP, for example, when you're supposed to build a course of action around a decisive operation, but you no longer have that as an official term now to as a tool to write to. And to build around. So we kind of had to go back to the drawing board a little bit and figure out how to describe the planning process and not completely change the MDMP, but how do we use the now common terms from FM30 to then drive planning? And then as we started to peel back the onion from the newly published FM30, there was other things that we wanted to incorporate. The tenets and the imperatives from FM30, and how do those affect planning? Commanders and planners should think about those things as they're developing plans and operations.
Yeah, so it's not just a word change, but this really drove changes in how we plan.
Yeah, it definitely was not a find and replace type revision. We put a lot of strong thought against it, and we got feedback and solicited help from all the COE, all the Center of Excellence and the Command General Staff College and obviously senior leaders had input and stuff as well to 5.0. We really wanted to update it in a way that made sense.
Very deliberately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we got a lot of input from the other COEs too. And so we were getting calls from the COE asking for different things, knowing we were doing this revision. And so not only has 3.0 come out with this new operating concept, but they've had time to look at all five planning methodologies, all the COEs do, and provide input into us. And so we got a lot of good support. I mean, Chair TC, NTC, MCTP over here, the Maneuver Center, Cyber Center. I mean, everybody was calling. Our colleagues were ringing.
The command drills
have. Yeah. Everybody's calling. They all have good ideas. And so it's how do you incorporate all these great ideas into this new manual with the new operational concept of FM3O and then what ADP 313 is bringing to the fight with this new look and information.
I want to go into staffing because I distinctly remember you guys have pages and pages of staffing that you had to work through. So let's talk about that. What were the conversations and what was the dialogue between the COEs or other people that you talked to?
So through the staffing process, we received, well, what was it like, 815-ish comments, something like that, from across the force, the primary ones. Like for the Maneuver Center, for example, they commented pretty heavily on troop leading procedures and the RDSP, the rapid decision-making synchronization process, like when to use that, when not to use it. The Department of Tactics at the Command General Staff College, again, like commented on like a different, well, you know, a lot of different areas, but they had a lot to say and provide a lot of help to us with, you know, developing a better course of action statement and sketch example, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, because they're really like, they're getting the reps down there.
They teach this day in, day out, year after year. You know, what a better resource to tap, especially being right here on Fort Leavenworth. And then, you know, the fire center, they weighed in heavily on some air missile defense stuff because that's, you know, like the resurgence of air missile defense within our operations. But we receive comments from across, like all across the force.
Ever since 2019, as we moved over to LISCO, they're going through all these exercises. They're starting to see products that maybe in the past we didn't need as much as COIN. One of the delegate authorities matrix was one of them that I believe MCTP brought in, that now as you have the commander on the battlefield and they're doing their battlefield circulation, they're not always as in close contact as they may have been before. So having that already set up when decisions are needed to be made and the commander cannot be reached for that decision, so who next can make a decision? So it's different products like that that were recommended based on experiences we're having right now as we wade our way into what LISCO would look for like for us today. So.
Another one being the HOPE timeline, you know, higher operational planning and enemy, you know, basically your timeline that you put together and, you know, early on in planning and then run that through your entire, you know, planning and execution cycle. It's just kind of ongoing, but it just helps you see how, you know, your higher headquarters and your operations, you know, drive your planning process and helps you to, you know, to time your, you know, your different planning events and preparation events and, you know, et cetera. But like, that's a very common, ubiquitous, you know, product that most units do use, but we didn't capture it in doctrine. And so Call just recently put out a publication on using it. And if the force is using this, you know, and it is something that we're already using during planning and execution, why don't we just go ahead and incorporate it into that, in, you know, in it, into FM5O.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into MDMP or the military decision-making process. You guys told me there's some changes to this, so let's give listeners the rundown.
Okay, so I'll tackle this first because I was the lead writer on the MDMP chapter. But so we already talked about the HOPE timeline. That's a big one, like that'll be in the, you know, receipt of mission step, but that's just where we talk about it within the book. It doesn't mean that, like, you're not updating that constantly. The emission analysis. We added an initial relative combat power assessment. So, like, where is that normally lives during course of action development? We felt that it was important. We'd received some feedback from the force on this that like during mission analysis, you should be taking a look at, you know, and basically just a sanity check, like the three and the commander getting together essentially and going, we've been tasked to, you know, from division to assault objective Fox, and we know there's an enemy battalion on objective Fox, right? And so do we have enough combat power to, you know, defeat an enemy battalion, yes or no? And we should, by, you know, based off of our running estimates, already kind of know that. And so it's kind of the sanity check. We'll do the numbers like the, hey, how many tanks versus, the, you know, do they have versus how many tanks we have, or how many, you know, maneuver companies they have versus what we have, et cetera. But we felt it was important to just put that, like, basically like a sanity or feasibility check, if you will, into mission analysis. And so, like, that was one of the big changes there.
And then is that supposed to allow your higher headquarters more time for them to replan or reallocate?
Well, absolutely. Because, like, then you're not getting into, like, you know, all the way through mission analysis and all the way into course of action development for you to jump up and say, I can't do this because I don't feasibly have enough combat power. And so higher headquarters, I need you to either resource me with additional combat power or some sort of other enabler in order to give me enough combat power to achieve, you know, to do the mission or achieve the objective that you've tasked me to do. So it's earlier in the process and it's just that sanity check. So going into course of action development, the biggest one that we talked about or already identified earlier was, you know, in our discussion was the, how do you conduct course of action development, you know, without a decisive operation to plan around? Because, like, you would previously, under the decisive shape and sustaining model, the commander would identify his or her decisive operation during mission analysis, and that's what the planning team would take into course of action development. So, like, what is your new nucleus of your course of action? And so we put together a team, you know, from lots of people from CAD, CAD C2, CAD Tactics, our director, and then we brought in some folks, you know, from some of the instructors from Department of Tactics at CGSC. We had CTC representation from the Bronco team from NTC was there, and then a smattering of some other folks, and we threw out some different options, because, like, some of the options were, you know, what is your essential task that you have to do to achieve your mission that your higher headquarters has given you? Like, that was one option. Another one was a decisive, you know, do we just call it the decisive point? But the problem with a decisive point was during an operation, you may have multiple decisive points.
Yeah.
And so we ultimately settled on the essential task. And so, because the essential task is still being identified during the same step as the decisive operation was. And it's something that, hey, that is the what in your unit's mission statement. Okay, so, like, what better thing to act as the nucleus during course of action development than the essential task? Probably the other one I would mention out of MDMP change-wise would be changes within the course of action analysis step. So previously to this version, wargaming was basically the only technique option, if you will, that was provided within doctrine. And a lot of people use the terms that are interchangeably, like, hey, this step is wargaming, or is this step course of action analysis? Well, the step is course of action analysis. It's not wargaming. And so what would happen a lot of times is if you're in a time-constrained environment and you don't have time to do a full war game, units would just skip it. There are different techniques that you can use. And ultimately, we want units and planners and commanders to not skip this step. It's a very important step within the process. Like, you really refine and synchronize your course of action within this step. And so what we've done with this version is we've identified three techniques. So the first technique being key leader discussion. So, like, if you were in a time-constrained environment, did course of action development, where you would previously have just hand-waved doing course of action analysis, now you get together, hey, some smart key leaders who can then get around a map, and you spend 15 or 20 minutes or an hour or however much time that you have during the, you know, during your particular situation. And then you can, like, analyze at least that part of your COA and make it a little bit better. Now, like, the preferred technique is still wargaming, because that gives you the most analysis out of any of the techniques. And then the third technique that we describe in there is modeling simulation, and acknowledge that most units do not have this capability. But some units in the Army do. And so FM5O is for the whole Army. But the most important thing about co-analysis is, like, don't skip it. Do at least something, like, would be my recommendation to the force. And that's why we want to describe those, not in just only wargaming language, but, hey, what are some other options given particular situations? But, yeah, that's probably the main parts of the MDMP, you know, that have changed.
You know, I thought one of the good things that you did that chapter too was, and we got it, it was kind of backed up and reinforced by the coaching team at JRTC, was putting touch points along MDMP, each one of the steps, about where the commander would inject, and different points in MDMP where you needed the commander to either provide guidance or take a brief or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly, Will. The we refined a lot of language within the chapter as far, you know, to emphasize the importance of the commander within the planning, you know, within the MDMP, and that the commander is the most important person in the MDMP. They should be the most experienced and the most, you know, knowledgeable person within the unit. Okay, and they, like, they're the ones assuming risk, and they're the ones making the final decision on, like, what we are and are not doing. And so they need to be involved in it, because a lot of times you don't have the time for your staff to go plan and then come back and the commander go like, no, that's not what I want. Like, well, you just wasted everyone's time by doing that. And, like, time that you probably don't have.
Another thing that came up from and we got a number of comments on this, was, and especially from the OC teams, was units, are you trying to use RDSP in lieu of MDMP?
Right.
And so Joe provided a lot of emphasis on how to abbreviate the MDMP, and then both in the RDSP chapter and also in the MDMP chapter, we reinforced RDSP is not a substitute for MDMP. There are two separate methodologies for a reason, and we explain that out within the book. But showing folks how to abbreviate MDMP when you get in that time-constrained environment. I think Joe did a good job of reemphasizing that, showing some examples, giving some scenario situations, and how to overcome that and what you could do. Once you have an established plan through MDMP, then you can frag from that plan if you don't have a branch or a sequel based on the situation you find yourself in.
Yeah, exactly. It's for use during execution. It's to get back on the plan, or to identify how do we, you know, adjust the plan, you know, how do we make adjustment decisions, et cetera, like during execution, not in lieu of an initial planning, an initial planning cycle. And if you don't have, you know, if you're in a time constrained environment, then yes, you just abbreviate the MDMP, because there's different techniques to do it, and we lay those out in the book.
Yeah, what I'm kind of hearing you guys talk about MDMP versus RDSP, and you should be doing MDMP, is like, it's important to plan, and those plans are important to subordinate units to have a good plan. Even if you don't have the time, go through the steps.
You're absolutely right. It's RDSP is to, like Will said, RDSP is there to help you get on, you know, back on plan. When you identify like a deviation, hey, things aren't going the way that we thought that they were going to go, we pull in key people from the staff and figure out, like, what's going on, what kind of, you know, what do we need to do to get back on track, you know, what can we do to actually get on track, and then what do we, you know, what kind of resources and stuff do we need to do, you know, to do that. And it's not a, you know, RDSP is not a substitute for the MDMP. It's used after the MDMP, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You guys talked, I think, Joe, you talked about the maneuver center having input into the troop leading procedures. I'd like to talk about that, because, you know, I think TLP's tried and true. What's there to change with that? So what were the changes that you guys made?
So there's really no changes to the actual steps within the troop leading procedures, right? But what we changed, and what the maneuver center helped us see, was the way that we described them within FM5O was too complex. Not because of, like, hey, it's hard to understand, but we described them in terms of the MDMP, right? Which is a planning process used at the battalion and above, okay? And in TLPs being for company level, you know, company echelons and below, we were describing the company echelon and below planning process in terms of the more complex planning process.
if you go back, Triple E procedures back to prior to 9/11. So if you would go back to 7-8 back in 2000, take a look at it. We had had mission creep ever since then on Triple E procedures. We had started instituting matrices and figures and diagrams in there that showed lash-ups between this step of MDMP to this step of Triple E procedures. They're two different things. MDMP is looking for the optimal solution and then producing an order or an op plan. Triple E procedures is to get you to a solution and conducting an operation. So that's why Triple E procedures has things like conducting reconnaissance, initiating movement. MDMP doesn't have any of those.
The company does not have a planning staff. They don't have the time and the resources and the staff to do, to develop multiple courses of action, like during, you know, under their make a tentative plan, you know, step. Like they don't have time to do, you know, a full mission analysis. Okay. And so like what we did was like, we simplified the way that we described the steps. Because as you mentioned, Lisa, like the company level leaders can't, like maybe the commander in their captain's career course have had some PME on the MDMP. And so like why, you know, we should not then describe the steps in terms of this more complex higher echelon planning process. And so what we did was like, we just simplified the language. I think it'll be way better for teaching and coaching this at the very, you know, at the junior level, at the platoon level. Because it took a lot of the complexity out of it. And like Will said, it is about getting enough of a plan together in order to conduct the task or the operation that you've been given.
That's one of the things Maneuver Center brought up, because they saw it. And then JRTC echoed it. So did MCTP, even though they aren't directly working at that level. But simplify this. Take this back. And the last time we did LISCO, and the last time we did Triple E procedures for LISCO was in 2000. And so going back and looking at that 2007 to FM7-8 that's no longer in circulation, and taking a look at how we did it then, how we do it now, and then realizing probably a lot of that mission creep happened because of COIN, and you had longer times to plan and execute as versus LISCO. So we just retooled it. But like Joe said, we still have the same 8 steps in there. So we didn't change the steps. It's just what's inside the steps and how we approach it.
And that was just one of the great, you know, comments back from the force that, like, you know, when we look at the book and we're like, oh, TLP seems fine, but until somebody, you know, external pops up and goes, this needs to maybe change, and this is the reason. And then you look at it again, like through their lens, and you go like, ah, man, like absolutely, that does need to change. Like, let's go ahead. Like, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That one, and then like the air missile defense, you know, piece from the fire center on, you know, do we need our own, you know, our own air missile defense annex now? Like, that was another, you know, another great comment from the force that, like, we got kind of late in the game, actually, and we were like, that absolutely makes sense, and we ran it up the chain, and that was a, you know, a really good change to the, you know, like the, even just the orders format.
Yeah, so I want to transition to that. That's the last thing I want to focus on. What are, so you talked about AMD Annex, is that what you said?
Annex India.
What other changes were there to the orders format? And then maybe give some background as far as what triggered those changes.
Yeah, so again, not like huge sweeping changes. I've already mentioned probably the biggest one, and that's the re-addition, way I'll term that, of the air missile defense annex. Because prior to 2010, it was its own annex. And then in 2010, it was like that annex went, like their annex went away. You like, what are we doing in 2010? We're right in the middle of COIN, right? 2 theaters. We're not doing a lot of air missile defense. And so it got split up into like between the protection annex and the fires annex. And so with the fire center coming up on the net and saying, hey, we would like to discuss having our own, you know, reestablishing our own air missile defense annex. It's not the same annex letter designation because we just needed to use something that was like, hey, we took one of the spares. India was the first spare that was open. So they're now, you know, Annex India. And then we also added a scheme of air missile defense within the base order. Okay, so now it's no longer air missile defense stuff. It's not, you know, split between protection and, you know, scheme of protection, scheme of fires in the base order. Now they have their own, you know, scheme of support within the base order as well. We thought was super important. Now some 313 stuff, you know, ADP 313 kind of concept with, you know, information is important to everything that we do. We actually got rid of the scheme of information from the base order because kind of similar to, you know, the METTCI concept, right? Within mission variables, you know, information is not its own variable. It's an important consideration for each of the variables. It's the same thing within the base order. We didn't want all of the information stuff stovepiped into one pair, you know, one scheme of one paragraph, right? Because it's important to the concept of operations. It's important to the scheme of fires. We want everybody to think about information. We don't just want somebody with, you know, they got tasked to write the scheme of information, you know, to only think about that, right? We don't, we want everyone to think of those informational considerations. And so, so like that was a big change. And then,
and also pulling out the IO, appendix out of Annex C drags another big one.
Yep.
That we actually took out the information operations. And then what that meant is it shimmed it everybody down because we made MILDEC and social leader engagement were appendices, or tabs underneath that appendix, and they became their own appendix, which pushed all recovery down to 16, appendix 16 underneath Annex C.
Yeah, within Annex C, we consolidated all the SEMA appendices because it's like they were split a little bit between, you know, Annex Charlie and the protection annex. We consolidated all of their stuff at the behest of the Cyber Center of Excellence. Like they wanted, hey, these are all our things. We want them all together. And then the last kind of thing, you know, big change to the orders format that I'd like to just highlight. It's actually a very small change, but we hope has a big impact. With command post survivability being a huge, you know, issue and effort right now for the Army. Our emissions control status plays a big part in that. And, you know, hey, that's how, you know, how much are we, you know, emitting? How, you know, what bandwidths are we emitting on? What range can the enemy find us? You know, like it's the enemy's ability to see us. And so we have, you know, like different statuses, like similar to like MOP levels, right? It's called emissions control status or MCON. And so what we wanted to do was bring MCON up to the forefront of people's thoughts and bring it up to almost parity with, to bring it up to parity with MOP levels, right? But that way within the base order coordinating instructions, the MCON level is there and we want people to think about it and to understand it.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Anything else that I missed? Anything else that you'd like to tell listeners about the changes to FM50?
You know, I think the biggest thing, I think we might have said this at the very beginning, but just repeat it. If you knew the five plane methodologies before, you still know them. Or we just made it a little bit better. We just made them a little more user-friendly. We just enhanced things, provided a couple extra tools, tried to clarify the language a little more. So as folks are digging into this relatively new Army planning manual, and they start coming up with good ideas through exercises and operations, that we try to incorporate those things into this book, into the existing methodologies that we already had.
And I would make the plug that I always make, like, we take the feedback from the force super serious. And you don't have to wait until we're doing a full revision of something. It's, we always are open for feedback here at CAD, and that stuff does not go unnoticed. But yeah, no, I really appreciate you having us on, Lisa, and let us talk about planning and orders and all the fun that entails.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the crew and Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Audible, or Spotify podcasts, and follow us on social media at U.S. Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.